This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, you have noticed recently on Fridays we have a new show, Investing and Trading Live, with Josh Lilquist, president of Online Trading Academy here in Denver. And if you've been a listener to our show over the years, you know we've had a long history with Online Trading Academy, and it has been great to have Josh with us and have this new show on Fridays from noon to 1. So, Josh, I wanted to get you on just a regular Haystack show here and introduce you to everybody. So I know we did this the first time you came on your show, but kind of give us a little background of yourself.
It's interesting because in trading, in the trading and investing world, a lot of people think you need a financial degree to actually trade and invest. Mm-hmm. Well, you actually don't. So I actually, you know, I used to be in the construction industry, and you know, highway heavy, own a company for a while, and you know, probably relating to a lot of your listeners, it's tough. It's tough in the construction market or world, and it's tough on the body. And I was really looking for something a little bit different because it's hard on the body, but I want to get out of working on that so I can do different things.
Sure.
Right? So I actually was in the construction industry for a long time, got into involved with Online Trading Academy, gosh, 8-9 years ago. It goes by so fast you sometimes forget, right? But maybe that's just old age, right?
Exactly.
Trust me, I know. But you know, I got involved with them a while back and just really learned how the financial markets worked on the institutional side. Just most people's search for investing and trading education online, whether it's, you know, the University of YouTube, which is probably the worst place to go, or books, which is all outdated.
Sure.
And I was able to kind of see how that actually functions on an institutional side, like I said. So, you know, I came to Online Trading Academy, and I really wanted to understand and learn how to trade and invest the right way. Mm-hmm. Have a consistent strategy, have a step-by-step strategy, and that's what they really have, is a step-by-step strategy for your trading and investing decisions. So that's kind of how I got, you know, I started out, you know, doing construction, you know, something different like most people, and Right. Then got into Online Trading Academy and just work my way from there. And you know, I'm here and I'm here to stay. And it's a really good time. That one of the things about the investing world is it's interesting. If it's sports or the markets, that's what I'm going to do. And that's what's pretty cool. It's a fun thing to get into. And for our listeners, I mean, if you're not in these markets, great opportunities, even though they're going down right now. And we talk a lot about that at the Academy, is different ways and strategies to trade with those institutions and not against them. So that's kind of how my background, you know, construction and just getting with Online Trading Academy and learning the skills of trading investing actually at the Academy here locally in Denver.
Right. And, hey, don't be fooled by the name Online Trading Academy, because they've got a nice campus right here in the Denver area. So kind of tell us about your facility.
Yeah, I mean, we got a state-of-the-art facility, and we got three classrooms, and people come in to classes to learn how the financial markets actually function. And I think that's one of the most important ways to learn about the financial markets, or really to learn anything, is actually in person. So yeah, we have these three classes, and we have free investing classes that we may give tickets away to later.
Okay.
If we get a chance to. But and we have instructors that actually teach those classes too. We have you know, several instructors at the Academy. We've actually been around 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's 25 years this past June.
And centers all over.
Yeah, worldwide. Yeah. Most major city in the U.S., I think 7 different countries now. It keeps growing. So mm-hmm. Because the financial world is getting better and better, in my opinion, even, no matter which way these market goes. So yeah, we have centers all across the world, and you mentioned it's not just online, like you said, physical places to go for everyday people, adult education, to learn how to trade and invest. So we see people that come to our academy local here and that just want to know more mm-hmm. about the markets. Some people just want to have a better conversation with their broker. So we really trade or train anything on the financial markets, whether it's short-term income strategies or long-term wealth strategies.
All right. Josh Lilquist is our guest, president of Online Trading Academy here in Denver. Hey, you can catch him every Friday, noon to 1, Investing and Trading Live. You do not want to miss this show. Josh really breaks it down with the markets, how you can understand them better. And as he said earlier, hey, you don't need a financial degree, all right, to listen to the show or to attend the classes, and we'll tell you how to do that here in just a moment. But who would you say online trading is ideal for?
Well, anybody, really.
Right.
But anybody that has a desire to do better in life. You think about it, most, you have a 95% that are not financially stable or secure, mm-hmm. and the 5% are. So there's a disconnect there on what they're doing, right? So it's really for most people that have a desire to do better with their finances. We have blue collar workers, white collar workers, every aspect of careers. Doctors, construction, nurses, real estate people. A lot of real estate people coming in to learn how to trade and invest. So it's really anybody, and we actually have people that come to our classes. My youngest student is probably about 14 or 15, and my oldest is 95. So age doesn't matter either.
Yeah.
But you think about it, maybe most of your listeners, maybe in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, that's a great time to mm-hmm. learn about it and actually take charge in your accounts, because what happens when you retire? Well, you have to have something to live off of, right?
Sure.
So a lot of people that are looking to secure retirements or have strategies for income during those times come to our classes as well. So pretty much all aspects of life come to our academy here in Denver.
And hey, you're a little younger than me, quite a bit younger than me, but I tell you, I see a lot of my friends and people I went to high school with, different things like that, and we were talking just a few weeks ago, and I said, hey, is anybody really where they thought they would be at this point in time in their life financially? And not one person said, you know what, I've achieved every goal, I've had a good plan, I've worked the mm-hmm. plan, and I'm right where I want to be. So I think that's a great point. Hey, no matter where you're at, it's never too late to start taking control.
Yeah, I think that's a great comment, because a lot of people are complacent and they're okay with status quo,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes doing different things, it's tough for some people, because it's not what they're used to. It's a little bit different. And see, the markets, they're not new, they're just a little bit different. So people want to be able to have more, be able to do things. And we already talked about the 95% and 5%. There's a disconnect there, but the only difference in that, or there's several, but one of them is actually taking action.
Yeah.
Some people are afraid to take action. And that's what we really do at Online Trading Academy, is we inspire people to do things a little bit differently to get different results. And that's one of the great things, is that way you're no longer in status quo. It's right. Easy being in there. One of the things, I did a TV show a while back, and we talked about, some of the worst feelings are being in that same position you are today, mm-hmm. 1 year from now and 2 years from now. So that's why you have to do things a little bit differently and not be complacent. And that's what we really inspire and help people do in the financial world, whether it's retirement accounts, trading accounts, income strategies, wealth strategies, Online Trading Academy.
Right. And you look at the last few years, and we mentioned that early in the show, the years go by quickly, and all of a sudden it's not just 1 year, the next, it's 5 and then 10 years. You where you were,
mm-hmm.
and you're not really there. You're really more behind, aren't you?
But some people feel when they're behind, they feel like it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's never too late. I mean, if you're listening now and you're 50, 55, you're barely at halftime. People are living longer these days. You have almost half of your life to live. Think about how, even though it goes quickly, but think about how long that was. And the worst feeling would be, okay, if you're not comfortable at where you're at financially, do something now,
mm-hmm.
right? Take charge in that now. Take those steps now, so that way you can live life how you choose to live in the future.
Right. All right. Let's give away a couple of tickets anyway. How can folks get in there?
Let's do that. We have free investing classes that we do local here at the Academy. And we talked a lot about the type of people that coming in and to these classes. And it's real simple to come into these classes. All you have to do is text in a keyword to a number, and they're going to receive a text back and also a call from one of our associates here at Online Trading Academy to get registered for a class that we do here during the week. We also have these on the weekends. So if you're listening, get your phone ready. I'm going to give that keyword here in a second. But we have these a lot of times on Wednesdays, Thursdays. We do these in the evening as well. Saturday mornings is a great day for most people. So text the word investing to the number 210-210 and do that right now for two free tickets. Text the word investing to the number 210-210. You can also go online. So if you're at home listening to the show, you can go to investwithota.com. That's investwithota.com and pick a date that works the best on your schedule.
All right. Sounds good. Now, the show Investing and Trading Live, heard every Friday from noon to one right here on KLZ 560. What can folks hear from you every week?
You know, a wide variety of topics. We talk a lot about two things in particular, income strategies and wealth strategies. So when I talk about income, so say somebody is working right now and they want to have another income strategy, because that's actually how you build wealth, is having more than one income source. You think about the millionaires and billionaires out there. They don't have one job. Mm-hmm. They have multiple sources of income. So we talk a lot about income strategies for people that are working, but also during retirement, we also talk about those wealth strategies. Different ways to have a strategy to build your wealth, so that way you're not in that position, you know, 1 year from now, 2 years from now, in that same position. So we really inspire people also how to take action to do that, because sometimes that's the toughest thing, is taking action. We kind of break down how the markets actually work and function, so people know it's not, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Sure. To be a trader or investor, you just have to be trained and have the right skills and education. So we talk a lot about that.
Right, and that's what Online Trading Academy is all about and has been for a number of years. Hey, so text the word, Josh says, take action. It's very simple. Text the word investing to 210-210. Get your two free tickets. You can check out the website, investwithota.com. They have a lot of different classes, a lot of different times, so they'll make sure to get one to fit you. Or give them a call at 888-682-6466. That's 888-682-6466. And again, on Fridays, Investing and Trading Live with Josh Littlequist, the president of Online Trading Academy here in Denver. And that is every Friday from noon to one. So, Josh, we appreciate it, and we look forward to your show, sir.
It's going to be a good time. Stay tuned every week.
Absolutely. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Zip around the neighborhood, commute to work, or ride the trails on an e-bike. Hi, I'm Randy Carancy, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are electric bikes that are fun and easy to ride. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. At eBike of Colorado, we have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Just try it. Take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville, next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you have been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people hear evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one that's hurt, you have a good idea what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals, whom you don't know and weren't witnesses, to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
You're listening to AM 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Glad to have Dave Hart in studio. RoofMax, you've heard about him now for quite a while here on KLZ 560. Dave Hart is with us. So, Dave, thanks again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right, let's kind of talk about, here's the way I kind of see you as this, with RoofMax. I mean, when you go out, you're trying to save that person's roof if you can.
Absolutely.
Now, we'll also get into here in a minute. If it does need replaced, you can help them with that. So they're not having to make another call. But here's the thing. If they call a regular roof company, they only do one thing.
99%
and their mission to come out there is to replace the roof.
Yep.
You go to a surgeon, a lot of them don't mention rehab a lot. Because you know what? They're surgeons. They want to cut on you, right?
They're going to send you somewhere else.
Yeah. So with you, I mean, you're saying, hey, look, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. If I can save the roof, we're going to do that. And, man, for five years. And sometimes you can even do it again after that 5 years, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's like you said, our mission is to save a roof. You know, in my career, I've replaced well over 3,000 roofs. It's messy. It's a pain in the rear. It just takes a lot more effort on everybody's part to replace a roof. And like I said, if I can't, if there's something we, if it's a service we can provide, aren't going to meet their needs and the roof needs to be replaced, then we're going to tell them we'd rather put that money towards replacing a roof. And so we can do that as well, whether it be residential or commercial. But the big thing is our first goal is to show up to look at a roof is how do we save this roof? That's in our mind. That's our goal is to do that first. And then, yeah, if we come back in 5 years when the initial application warranty runs out and they need it again, there's a lot of times we can do it again. So I mean, we're looking at, I would say 80% of the roofs that we treat right now, we're getting at least 15 more years of life, with a couple applications.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty neat. Yeah.
And you can do commercial or residential.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So we're looking at one right now. It is a residential home. Specifically, it's got a couple of roofs on it already. So by code, I can't put another roof system over the top. But the customer's looking at spending $50,000 to replace it. And it's not a big roof, because it's a very low slope. So we have to do certain types of roofing materials, which are really expensive. But there's an option to go over it with a little bit of foam and then coat that roof for just over half that price and get them another 20-year warranty. So we're not even having to replace, you know, rip that roof off. And more than likely, we're going to have a lot of decking to replace because it's the original roof is still on the roof, on the roof deck. So when you take that off, it damages a lot of the wood. So we're getting him another 20 years of life out of that roof. That's not a RoofMax product, but that is something else that we can do as well.
Right.
So it's saving him a ton of money, getting him a lot better reflectivity rate on his roof. So it's helping the house stay cooler, saving energy costs, and just peace of mind for 20 more years.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, most homeowners, and I think we've talked about this before, really don't understand what their insurance policy covers for a re-roof.
Yeah.
And you've probably had some that looked at you and you said, well, it covers and here's what you would owe.
Exactly.
And they're like, you got to be kidding me, because they're probably paid $2,000 or $3,000, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, even the deductible, people aren't, you know, overly aware of what what's changing there. You know, they think they have a $1,000 deductible and then event happens where you make a claim and now it's $2,500, $3,000. They're going up to, you know, 0.5% of the value of the home. Some are going to 1%. Some insurance companies are not paying the full actual cash value of the roof anymore if your roof is 10 years old or older. So there's just a lot of changes in the industry in regard to the insurance companies. So that's why I really enjoy trying to keep a roof alive and on the house as long as we possibly can.
Right.
Just because that's just getting crazy. So, you know, before you're getting paid, you know, an entire amount to replace a $12,000, $15,000 roof, now you may have to come out of pocket with your deductible of, you know, $7,000 or $8,000 to replace it. So it's, things are changing,
right?
And people just aren't looking at their policies or calling their guys and verifying the coverages and stuff like that. So very important to do that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Once again, Dave Hart is our guest. It is RoofMax. The number to call, ask for Dave. You'll save $250, but only this number can do that. 303-710-6916. It is a free consultation. Dave will come out and take a look and let you know. And in some instances, you've said this before, hey, if your schedule allows, I mean, they call you out, they need the work, sometimes right there.
Sometimes they can do it right then and there,
you can
go. Exactly.
Which is cool for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of times I'll take the equipment with me if it's, you know, more than 45 minutes away from my shop. And then that way, if you have the option and I have the time, we can try and do it while we're there. But either way, we'll come back if we have to as well. Not a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
What are you looking at probably for an average roof replacement? Not, and I guess average roof, but just the homes that you see. I mean, what could it run up to now?
Anywhere from $13,000 to $15,000. Last year, that same roof would have been $9,000 to $12,000. So it's jumped up drastically. Yeah.
Wow.
And we typically get 3 to 4 price increases a season. And I had 3 or 4 price increases before this even officially started. And I'm getting one about every 6 weeks right now. So they're going crazy. Yeah. Some of our roof coating materials have come down a little bit, but not much. But I've not seen anything else come backwards at all.
Right.
So it just keeps going up.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's kind of explain, once the treatment hits, what's it really doing to the shingle?
Okay, good question. So when we treat the roof, we spray it on. You know, you've seen guys out spraying, you know, lawns with fertilizers and stuff like that. So it's very much the same process, except I'm doing it on a roof shingle. And so once the treatment is applied to the shingle, it soaks into the shingle, kind of like when you have a sponge in your kitchen sink. It absorbs that water and holds on to it. So this product does the same thing. You spray it on the shingle, and for about a half hour, 40 minutes, it looks like you spilled a bunch of milk on the roof. It's a little white, which is just the oils, and then and that soaks in. Once it soaks in, it can rain, it could snow, you won't lose any product. But then from there, it takes about 3 days for it to fully saturate the shingle, and then make it all the way to the seal strips and reactivate those.
Mm-hmm.
So it soaks in like a sponge. It's pretty neat.
Is there any kind of shingle it doesn't work on?
It has to be asphalt.
Yeah. Okay.
Any kind of an asphalt shingle is not a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once again, the number, 303-710-6916. Save $250 and just ask for Dave. And you mentioned, on commercial deals, man, I can't imagine the savings this could present to a commercial building, depending on the size.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, even on you know, apartment complexes, townhomes, I was bidding a project in Parker a couple weeks ago. It was going to be about $1.2 million to replace the roofs. The shingles were 20 years old, and we went in there for about 16, I think it was around 16%. It was about 85% cheaper, 84% cheaper than replacing the roofs. And look like they're going to get those treated now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking, you know, $1.2 million and having to do a bunch of assessments with the owners of the townhomes themselves to make up that money, because HOA didn't have $1.2 million.
Yeah.
Or we can go in and, you know, for $170,000 and get them a lot more life out of the roof and additional protection, which they had the money available for that. So, and they don't have to do any assessments or anything else like that to raise more money. So it's kind of a win-win for everybody. And then we do the flat roof coatings. So a lot of commercial properties will have what we call black EPDM roofing. So it's a rubber material. That gets hot. It gets really stinking hot. Bad. And those have what's called seams. And we can get the rolls in 20 foot wide, 10 foot wide. And the seams over time start to fail. You start to get leaks. And they could be easily repaired, but then we're going in and doing a coating on top of that. So it's white. It's a white coating, so it's got over 90% reflectivity rate, so saving a ton of money on their electric bills in the summertime. And basically, it's the last one I did was about 60% cheaper than replacing a roof.
Right.
So it's really neat. So our goal, again, is just to try and save a roof, residential, commercial. I don't go in looking at it as a way to try and upsell and replace a roof unless we absolutely have to.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoy trying to save roofs.
No, and that's one thing, you know, we've heard over and over again from customers over this, you know, year and a half you've been with our shows and all is, you know, people trust you. And that's what we've told them.
Sure.
Like I say, you did our house, and that's one thing, because I don't know.
Right.
But that's one thing that you know, I love about our sponsors. And I know John Rush the same way. I mean, man, you know, we do business with our sponsors. They've done work in our house. And so it's great to have somebody you can trust, because I don't want to know about my roof, to be honest with you. You know, I just want to have somebody like you that I can trust to say, if I need it, great. You know, if I don't, then it's cool to save. And man, this day in time, with just our money being, it won't have to.
Absolutely. And I'm actually even hearing rumors. I have not been able to verify them, so again, it's just a rumor, but with it being 2022 and what we've dealt with the last 3 years, anything does not surprise me anymore. But I'm hearing there's going to be a shortage of shingles. Not that they're not getting manufactured, but they're having a hard time getting the raw goods to the manufacturer to make them. So there could be a very tough spot here pretty soon, especially if we do get any hail. Which in one aspect we've been very fortunate to not have that right now. But if it happens, we're going to be hard-pressed to get some shingles.
Right. And I don't know, it's what, a couple of days, 3 days probably to redo a roof, you know, if the weather cooperates and all. But, man, you got all the the banging usually on the roof and the mess and the cleanup and the nails in your yard, whatever, from a lot of people. I know you wouldn't leave it that way, right. But I mean, it's just a hassle. And so, I mean, man, to come out and get this done in 3 or 4 hours.
Tops,
for, you know, fraction, 20-30% of the cost of a new roof.
Yep.
5-year warranty.
Mm-hmm. It's like a new roof. Yeah. It's like a brand new roof again.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I did one this morning. It was relatively on the small size, but it took me an hour and a half to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good for another 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty neat.
Well, give Dave a call. Hey, don't wait. Now's the time to do it. 303-710-6916. Save $250. Dave's the only guy that can give it to you, so call him. 303-710-6916. Dave, as always, our time goes too quickly, but thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for being with us today for Haystack Help Radio. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Country station.
KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Food Chat, a weekly show that's all about food production, including farming, ranching, processing, and basically all things involved in getting food from the field to your plate. Now, let's get you reconnected to your food, and here are your hosts, Greg Bloom and Chef Jackson Lamb.
Talk about an uphill battle, 2,000 acres of beans and cattle. He don't ever get rattled. He just goes till the sun goes down.
Food Chat. Food Chat Radio and Podcast is about all things food. We talk to ranchers, farmers, people that own food processors, chefs, and today on our show, we have a local distillery. Alistair Brogan is here to join us. And hey, Alistair, welcome to the show. And we have Chef Jackson with us.
Oh, thanks very much. Thanks for the invite, Jackson. Great.
Let's just jump right in. And people wonder, well, why are we talking to a person that makes spirits? And we'll talk to you about which ones you make and why you make them. But, you know, it is a food product. It is made from agricultural products. So you can talk to us about the process a little bit later. But let's just jump right in with the first question. And then Chef Jackson will ask the second one. It's about how you started. I mean, and why the distillery business of all businesses?
Oh, but I'll try and be short. Similar story to a lot of people who are in the whiskey space here in the US. I had a passion for whiskey, and that's where it really started. And yes, by my accent, I'm not from Colorado. I'm from Glasgow in Scotland. And a little bit background, I served 10 years in the military in the UK, 15 years in business. And then my wife and I, and my wife happens to be an American, we decided to move to Colorado and to bring our children up, who were both actually born in Scotland. And I wanted to make the very best American single malt whiskey I could. So we came across to Boulder, and Boulder for whiskey making, Colorado for whiskey making, is spectacular for lots of reasons that we can go into later on. I brought a still with me from Scotland, started making single malt, but the hobby very quickly turned into full time. And now we produce American single malt whiskey and bourbons.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. That sounds great. Thank you.
That's fantastic. Alistair, Chef Jackson Lamb here. Thank you so much for joining us on our show.
Pleasure.
You know, so what makes your products different than your competitors? And, you know, again, it is amazing how when we look at spirits, it is really an agricultural product. What do you use? Where do you get your grains from? That'd be very interesting to know. And anyway, if you can share that with us, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely, Jackson. Nice to meet you. Yes, it's an agricultural product. I mean, there's only four main ingredients in almost all whiskeys, and that is grain. There's grain, there's water, there's yeast, and then you would even include the barrel in itself, and that an American oak barrel. So there's only four main ingredients. And then there's two major influencers, the still that you use and the climate, which is very unique in Colorado. So as far as the grain is concerned, we source our grain. A lot of it is local, but at the moment I'm sourcing some of my grain from Europe. The malted barley is brought in from Europe because American distilling doesn't use malted barley as a flavoring to most of whiskeys. So if you think of a bourbon or a rye, they may have 5% malted barley. The malted barley in the U.S. tends to be made for beer. So there's different protein levels, different sugar levels, and different yields, and also different flavors depending on where you're picking that grain from, whether it be Wyoming or Montana. But we're working with a couple of local malting houses to try and resolve that issue. But absolutely, it's an agricultural product. Our corns are local. A very small amount of rye we use is local. And then we've got the spectacular water from Colorado.
Very good. Yeah, you know, I will say that you've been in Colorado how long now?
I've been here about 10 years.
You know, I was sharing with Greg earlier, 30 years ago, there were no distilleries. And, you know, all of a sudden, we have become the mecca for distilleries. You know, I think Stranahan's might have been the first one to get going about 25 years ago. But it's fantastic that we have really turned Colorado into getting away from the beer market and getting into the specialized spirits market. Fantastic. So thank you for doing such a great job there. Greg, I'll throw it back to you.
Hey, Alistair, I so much enjoyed getting to know you. It's funny, we're both from the Denver area. You're in Boulder, but I live in Denver and grew up here. But I didn't meet you in Colorado. I actually met you at a food show in London. We work side by side. I'm promoting Colorado beef, and you're promoting your spirits there in London. And then where do we run into each other again? China. We're doing a food show in China, and we bump into each other at the airport. And we're headed to the same food show. So we got to work side by side. That was kind of funny.
It is, and, you know, Colorado is great. The agricultural department are great in trying to promote Colorado agriculture, food, and spirits. You know, they're great at that. It is funny.
Well,
and now we're on a podcast.
Yeah, now we're doing a podcast and radio show. Well, I really enjoyed when I got back. I didn't come see your beautiful operation right away, but I was there about a year ago, and you gave me a wonderful tour, and I know you love to do tours. And I would like you to type of equipment you use, that equipment, because I know some of your equipment, if I remember, is imported. And let's, like, you know, people, we're on the radio here, so no video component, but maybe you could kind of walk our listeners through your facility and give that tour here.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. So, you know, as I was saying earlier, there's not much ingredients in single malt whiskey. And there isn't many distilleries that are actually making single malt whiskey. And Stranahan's was one of the first distilleries in Colorado, and they actually, their whiskey is a single malt whiskey. And since then, I think there's 120 distilleries now in Colorado. And one of the reasons one of the great things about Colorado is we have got spectacular water that can really match up to any water in the U.S., that really does have a massive impact on the whiskey, any whiskey. And secondly, we have got, because of that huge swings in temperature in Colorado, we've seen huge swings in temperature makes the barrel breathe a lot faster. And it sucks that new make spirit into that char filter in and out almost than you would do at, say, at sea level in a normal climate. And as a result, we get a lot of evaporation, but as a result, we get a very unique whiskey. So few ingredients. We don't actually need a lot of equipment. What we call a mash tun is where we add the hot water to the grain, like the sugars that we then put into the fermenter, eats the sugars and creates ethanol. So for your beer listeners, they're very familiar with that. The only thing we don't do is add hops. So we actually, single malt whiskey is, in effect, unhopped beer distilled twice. And the piece of equipment that I absolutely insisted on when I started this, and that was the only way I was going to go, was in a pot still. It's very different from a lot of the stills that are used in the U.S. You tend to find in the U.S. column stills are used because of the grains, i.e. The ryes, the wheats, and the corns. These are big flavored grains. Malted barley requires, how can I say it, a little bit more love and attention. So we slow everything down so that the flavors of that malted barley can really maturate into the water that's present during the distillation process. So the still that I bought, brought across, was from Forsyth and Rothes. It's up in Scotland. And they're one of the very few pot still makers in the world. And they make pot stills for most of the single malt whiskey industry throughout the world. Not just Scotch, because, you know, there's some phenomenal single malt whiskeys coming out of Japan, Tasmania, Australia, all sorts of places. So the pot still was really important. And what we can also do with a pot still is design it in such a way you can influence the flavor and taste. The column stills of America are very industrial, very continuous, and they create a really clean spirit. But a pot still with malted barley creates more flavorful whiskey. And we wanted a whiskey that was going to be A, flavorful, but also heavy. And why I say a heavy whiskey is because America is the only country in the world that has got a law to say that whiskey, i.e. Bourbons, ryes, wheat whiskies, have to go in new charred oak barrels, whereas the rest of the world tends to use second fill barrels. So I wanted a heavy whiskey to be able to compete with that that new oak, because whiskies can eventually get a little bit, oaky and tanniny, and that's not what I wanted.
Thanks for explaining that. I enjoyed listening to you, and I had forgotten some of what you told me on the tour. I do remember that impressive pot still that you're talking about. What a beautiful piece of, and it's huge. It's not a small thing. It's just beautiful. It's a work of art. And then I'll have Jackson ask you next about the different products that you make. But how long does it take to make, for example, your single malt whiskey? I don't want to ask anything proprietary or top secret, but anything that you're willing to share about, like how long the process takes.
Yeah, the process, and it is a process. I mean, the process, it takes, you know, a day to extract the sugars from the grain. It takes a day to do the first distillation, which is the water, taking as much water as you can out of that, in essence, beer. And then it takes another day to sort of refine that to your product where you're putting in the barrels. Now, all these things can be run concurrently. So you could be doing a mash, a spirit run, and strip and a spirit run in the same day. So it's a production line, as far as that's concerned. But we can do, if you started from scratch, it would take you a week to make a barrel of whiskey, because the fermentation time for us is just over 2 days.
Great. Thank you.
I love that. So, Alistair, you've shared with us so much information so far. Can we drill down and share with us specifically what is in your product line and what's your best seller?
Great question. So we really focus on two aspects of whiskey. Now, we do actually, we started, as a lot of distilleries do, started off making gins, liqueurs. And, you know, in Colorado, there's some phenomenal gins and liqueurs. And most distilleries then want to start laying down barrels. And we've now passed that point where we've got enough stock, we're selling on the market. But there were two whiskies that I really wanted to focus on. Well, actually, that's not true. I only wanted to focus on one whiskey, which was American single malt whiskey. That was my passion. But I quickly realized, very quickly, there's a commercial aspect of doing what I do. and I was going to, and we wanted to do a bourbon. So I've got a bourbon and I've got a single malt, but we've got wines in both of them. So let's take the bourbons. So the big unique difference between our bourbon and really anybody else's bourbon is bourbon to be bourbon, it has to be 51% corn. It has to go into new oak barrels and it has to be distilled under 160. Our mash bill, which is the combination of grains, is very high malted barley. So we've got 51 corn, tick, we're a bourbon, 44 malted barley. American distilleries tend not to use malted barley as a flavoring into their bourbons. But I wanted to use it as a flavoring for, because my palate is more the single malt side rather than the heat and sweet of high corn bourbon. So it calms that heat and sweet down a little bit. So we've got that bourbon. We also do a sherry cask bourbon, which is more of an expression. So it's once we've fully matured the bourbon, we put it in a beautiful French oak sherry cask that's recently been dumped. And then we suck that beautiful sherry out of the wood. And then, secondly, we get the influence of French oak. The French oak gives you a little bit more of a sort of dark spices, dark fruits, spicier notes, because French oak is very different. It tends to be used for wine. French oak is very different than American oak, which tends to be used for whiskey. That's our bourbon. And we have what's called a bottled and bond as well, which is higher proof, longer age. Then on our single malt whiskies, again, I wanted to do expressions rather than big flavor changes, because there's enough between bourbons and single malts to have those flavor changes. So we've got our flagship single malt whiskey, 100% malted barley, pot stilled. And then we have a higher proof, longer in the barrel whiskey, which is called our bottled and bond. We've got a port cask finish. Again, going back to that, recently emptied French oak, Portuguese port. And then we have got a peated single malt whiskey, which is very traditional in Scotland. We were one of the first, to put peated malt in a new oak barrel. And it's more of an expression of peat rather than a peat bomb that a lot of people decide whether they love peated single malt or hate peated single malt. So that's our line. That's our lineup, as short as I can make it.
Alistair, as Greg introduced me as Chef Jackson Lamb, I have taught in the hospitality industry for 30 years. And a lot of that, I've been teaching wine classes, I've been teaching spirit classes. So I wanted to share with our audience, I love your idea about the sherry barrels being used for the bourbon. Mm-hmm. Glenmorangie single malt scotch, they do that with a variety of port, sherry, Madeira, and I can't remember the fourth, but and it really does impart great flavor coming out of that oak. So congratulations on doing that. And your product line is tremendous. You've got a little bit of everything up there, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, what the challenge as a whiskey lover as well, you may relate to this, a whiskey lover, but also a businessman, you tend to go down the path that interests you the most. And so our single malt whiskey, I wanted to do the sherry port, and you're right, Madeira, Glenmorangie, phenomenal finished whiskies, and they excel in that. And I wanted to add that, but there is a level of, how can I say it, education. And this is a great way for me to sit and explain these things, where there's so much in craft distilling that's different, unusual, and interesting, that people really should, especially if they've got a lot of local craft distillers, go and check them out, because they're gonna find things there that are nowhere else in the world. The big guys, the big beverage companies, don't do a lot of innovation. And they don't do a lot of innovation because they've got a brand, they do well with it, and why change something that's successful? So what you're finding in the craft industry here in Colorado and elsewhere is that people are playing with things that have never been played with before. We are not necessarily the first to do finished single malt whiskey, but we're one of the first. And I'm just thinking of the list of other distilleries that are phenomenal, are doing really interesting stuff. And I wanted to be subtle about everything. So it wasn't big flavor changes, it's subtle changes. So when I do tastings, we do a lot of tastings at the distillery up here in Boulder, there's a whiskey for everyone. It's not a case of I don't like that, I like that. It's I prefer this over that. And I love seeing hearing those comments from people who I taste our whiskey out on.
Very good. You know, what we really do find with consumers is most of them are creatures of habit. I'll take a Seagram 7 and 7, okay? I'll take a Boulet on the Rocks, and it's the same one every time. My wife does the same thing with wine. She just doesn't switch from Chenin Blanc. So, but then there are those of us, like the three of us here, that, oh, that was nice. Let's try something different. And let's try something different. I like how you also mentioned how in Colorado we're very innovative. We'll experiment and go in a direction that people haven't gone before, which I think makes Colorado what it is.
Oh, very cool. Absolutely. You know, I think the beer industry is at something like 12% are craft beer, and the spirits industry is about 4%. And we're in the same trajectory as the beer guys. But, yeah, and that's what's really the challenge for us is that, you know, whiskey's a lot more expensive, craft spirits a lot more expensive. So we spend a lot of our time at events and festivals and various things to try and allow people to sample our spirits so that then they feel comfortable in, you know, a beer, you know, a lot of people, if they get a beer that they don't particularly like, they just don't, they won't buy it again. But, you know, you're talking $5-6 versus a bottle of whiskey is a lot more expensive. So all our craft distilling here is about giving a consumer the experience so that they understand what is available. And, you know, we're all, you know, every restaurant's like that because, you know, once you go to a great restaurant and enjoy the food there, you're going to go back.
Hey, Lester, enjoyed getting to know you personally when we were doing those food shows. We're standing there side by side for 2 or 3 days at each show, and I got to know about your wife and your boys and just about your life and why you're doing what you're doing. But I really enjoyed also learning because I'm hearing you talk to people all day long that come up to our booth. And a lot of them were super knowledgeable about the products that you make. And I got to hear stuff I never learned as a, you know, I'm from the food production side, but I'm not from that side of the industry. And I don't know anything about spirits. So I so much enjoyed just listening to you explain, especially I think it was in London that we were kind of in the gin market, a lot of gin drinkers in London. And I don't know a thing about gin until I heard you. So maybe you could talk a little bit about gin and your gin and why it's unique and even how that all came about. Like, where did gin come from? The history of gin.
Oof. Yeah. Well, gin is a very, a very European spirit, as is, you know, a lot of you know, whiskies and gins. The Dutch, the French, the English, gins tend to be heavy juniper. By law, it has to be predominantly juniper. So that's that sort of really sort of juniper flavor. I liken it to licking a Christmas tree. I don't know exactly what I mean by that, but that's what my brain tells me. You know, you're talking, you know, two parts juniper, one part coriander, and it's really, really popular in the UK. And, you know, during the British colonial times, it was used gin and tonic water for anti-malaria. That's got the botanicals in I can't remember the name of it. So it was very popular. And in the US, it wasn't as popular. And what's happened over the years is we were one of the first. So we started, before I even arrived here, we really, this distillery was really a gin company, and it was run by a chap called Ted Palmer. He was a gin freak. And when my whiskeys came online, he retired. So, but he was all about organic botanicals, because he used to get really bad headaches if there was any level of pesticides in the botanicals. So it was all about organic botanicals, but also, and a lot of American gins have gone this way, lower that juniper to just the legal requirement, and then add a nice selection of other botanicals. So we've got 11 botanicals added onto our juniper. So low in juniper, and then you hit two major spots. You hit the citrus and you hit the floral. And that can be from, hibiscus, orange, chamomile, tea, all sorts of botanicals, just to give that, basically, to a symphony of flavors rather than two-dimensional. And American distillers have really taken that on because, again, experimenting with that. It's not mass market because, if you're doing 10 botanicals, the chances are one of them somebody's not going to like. I don't like cardamom, for example. So any gins that have got cardamom in, I'm not a big fan of. But I like citrus over floral. So our gins are really unique in that respect. And again, people exploring gins through tasting, there is such a variety. But the one gin that we do, which is really one of our best products, is our barrel-aged gin. So what we do is we take our gin, standard gin, and we put it in a new oak barrel, number 3 char, the same way as you make a whiskey or you maturate a whiskey. You leave it in for 2 years. And what comes out is this, and we call it Ginty. And it's not a combination. It's a barrel-finished, pretty extreme. 2 years is pretty extreme. But what you get from that is you get distinctly gin, but a lot of the flavors you find in whiskey. And that flavors in whiskey is more the barrel. So the oakiness, the sweetness of the sugars that come out of the oak. And this sounds terrible, but we don't sell a huge amount of it. And what we find is we sell a lot in the liquor stores, but in bars and restaurants, we go into bars and restaurants and they'll taste it, and the buyer or the bartenders will go, this is one of the best drinks I've ever had, but I can't give a brown gin to my customers, but I'll take some bottles for myself, because there's such a fantastic array of cocktails that you can make from it.
Wow, that sounds great. Thank you for explaining that. And we just have about a minute left. I'm sorry, we're already out of time, but maybe you could just kind of close and tell our listeners where they can find your products.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you. So we're in Boulder. You can find all our products at our tasting room. We also do tastings, and we do tours that can be booked online. Mm-hmm. But most of our products are in the larger liquor stores throughout Colorado. We are distributed in Colorado in about 10 states now. We're distributed in South Africa and also the UK. But to find our products, go into the large liquor stores that carry craft spirits, and you'll find us. If not, ask for it. And the liquor stores are great in Colorado for pulling it in. Or give us a call. Come into the distillery. We've got all the full range here.
Great. Thanks so much for being on our show today.
No, absolutely.
I can't wait to come up to Vapor Distillery and visit the site up there. You've really given us a great education, Alistair.
Well, thanks. Thanks very much.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this episode of Food Chat. And this episode is brought to you by Alistair at Vapor Distillery. And you can find out more about Vapor Distillery on their website at boulderspirits.com, just www.boulderspirits.com. And encourage you to check out their product line. And even if you're not a spirit drinker or connoisseur, it's great to have a bottle in your kitchen to make sauces with. Chef Jackson and I talk a lot about how to make the sauces for beef and all kinds of roasts and steaks. So just check out boulderspirits.com and support a local family company. Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring, that turn from green to that home.
harvest honey. Pull one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake money. Here's to the farmer's wife that loves him every night. Raising a son, raising a daughter. They gather around the table, send it up to the father. Somehow they get closer when times get harder. Here's to the farmer.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.